So Pastor Earl ministered on Mother's Day, had a powerful word to all the ladies in the house. Amen. And so he said, you're going to do Father's Day. Well, as we were thinking about this, you know, I said, what in the world am I going to say to men? One, a woman in the pulpit still is not just normal in the world, you know. They have a hard enough time still today with a woman preacher. But anyway, and so, so I'm thinking, okay. So I asked Pastor Mike, they were talking about what the theme was. And for several years, we've used this scripture. And the mighty men have heard this scripture many times out of 1 Kings. Chapter 2, verse 2, and I want to read it, and then I'll give you a little bit more. It says, and as David's time to draw near, or to die, drew near, he charged Solomon, his son, saying, I am going the way of the earth. He's getting ready to die. This is King David and his son talking to his son right before he dies. And he told him, he said, be strong, therefore, and show yourself a man. And so show yourself a man. The next scripture gives us how he told him that he would be able to show himself a man in the earth. And this was the answer. And so he told him, keep the charge of the Lord, your God. Walk in his ways. Keep his statutes. Keep his commandments. Keep his ordinances and his testimonies according to what is written in the law of Moses, that you may succeed in all that you do and wherever you turn, so that the Lord may carry out his promises which he spoke concerning me, saying, if your sons are careful of their way to walk before me in truth with all of their heart and with all of their soul, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. And so here he tells Solomon, that's getting ready to take over the kingdom, listen, I'm getting ready to die, but one thing you need to do is to be strong and show yourself a man. And the way you do that is to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, to obey his word, to obey his laws, to do all that is written in it. And then you'll see the promises come to pass. But not only the promises that have been told me and be told you, but be told your son, the next generation. And he says, if you do this, you'll succeed. Amen. Show yourself a man. I need all the men in the house to stand to your feet. I'm going to speak and declare over you that in the society and in the world today, where people are trying to belittle and get rid of manhood, I'm saying and speak that these men of Anchor Faith Church that are here today, I declare that they are going to show themselves men, that they are going to rise to the challenge. They're going to rise to the occasion today and take responsibility, take their place in the kingdom of God for the next generation. Amen. Are you in agreement? One, two, three. One, two, three. One, two, three. Amen. Hallelujah. You can be seated. I'm telling you, in the day, in the hour that we're living, they're trying to wipe out man. But as I was asked by Pastor to speak into the men's lives today, as every Monday morning with our staff, we come and we pray in the sanctuary over the congregation, over the church, over everything, the vision, all of the staff in here. And one Monday morning, because I know that I've been ministering for a while and I still had not gotten the message, and one Monday morning I'm just meditating on that scripture, show yourself a man, show yourself a man, show you, how in the world am I going to tell people to show themselves a man? I'm a woman. And and they don't even like to hear women anyway. And so I was there and praying in the spirit, and this dropped down in my spirit from the Lord to you, men. And he gave me an acronym for man. And this is it. show yourself a man. M stands for masculine. It is okay to be masculine in the day and hour that we're living in. When the world is trying to say there's no sex, non-binary, I want to be whatever I want to be, I'm telling you it is okay, thus saith the Lord, to be masculine. Yes, amen. We need you to be masculine. We don't need you to be feminine. As I was looking up this word, I was reading about, the ancient history of where the word came from back in 1800s and, all the way back, even with Roman soldiers and stuff. And in the dictionary, which they are trying to eliminate the word masculine out of the dictionary. This is the society that we're living in. And under the dictionary, it says the male species, one that's more tendency to aggression. And I say we don't have aggressive men. We have passionate men. Amen. No, the enemy has called it aggression when it was all together to be a passion, to conquer, to dominate, to subdue. And I'm telling you, in the world that we are living, we need masculinity back in our society. The jail cells and the prisons are loaded with men that have had no purpose, had no father, had no men in their life. And they're sitting there with no idea of what a man is to be in the earth. But yet we can go back to the book of the beginnings and see exactly what man was to look like in the earth. And so A stands for anointed and appointed. As a man, God appointed you. He appointed you to lead. And the world and the mess that we're in is because men have not taken the lead and they have gotten out of their position that Christ ordained, that God ordained from the very beginning. So he has anointed and appointed the man. And then N stands for necessary. You as a man are necessary in the earth. You're necessary. And when I went to look at that word necessary, it says absolutely needed. You are absolutely needed in the earth today. You're needed. You're needed. Your masculinity is needed in the earth today. When we have little boys that don't understand, come on, and want to be a little girl, I'm telling you, you are necessary and needed in the earth today. And so, we're going to go back to the book of beginnings and look at this. In Genesis chapter 1, and verse 26, we know this, we've heard this in this church. If you are a member of this church, a vision partner, and you are actively involved, you have heard this many times. We go back to the original intent of what God designed. Amen. Because what we're seeing in the earth today is not God's original intent. You are seeing fallen man at all of its evils. And God never designed for man to not be in his purpose, in his place, and in his appointed destiny. And so what happens, Dr. Miles Monroe said, where purpose is unknown, abuses are inevitable. And so man has been out of position, has been out of place in all kinds of levels. And that is where we see all the abuses that have taken place in people's lives. Men have abused women. Men have abused women physically, sexually, mentally, right? They've done all of that. This is not a denial of what real things going on in the world. Come on. I've tasted and seen all of it. And I'm telling you, it does not matter one bit compared to the Father God who sent his Son Jesus Christ to restore and redeem and give you love again and give you forgiveness again, to be able to trust man again. Because they're absolutely needed. And so, men have failed us, let us down, used and abused us. Men on men, it's not just women. They've misused their authority to control and dominate man, just as they've done to women. Amen. And it's all because of the fall of man and getting out of Adam, getting out of his position. And so we're going to read Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. It says, "And then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." And I'm telling you, men without God look like creeps. You can dress it all pretty. I'm telling you, there's no good thing in them because they're of their father, the devil. There's no good thing in man outside of their relationship with God. And so here we see it. You know, we've seen it in our society. We see one of the biggest billionaires on the face of the planet, Steve Jobs. And in his last dying breath, what did he say? "When it all comes down to it, I have nothing." We have two, you know, people committing suicide that seem to have the world, but what has it done? It's forfeited them, forfeited their soul. We see here, you know, where he says, if you'll walk before me, back in 1 Kings, this just came to me by the Spirit of the Lord. If you'll walk before me in the truth with all your heart, come on, and with all your soul. I'm telling you, we have to show ourselves a man, not just physically with strength, but we have to have mental strength and mental capacity to show ourselves a man. And I'm telling you, a weak man is I don't even like to be around weak men, because that was not God's design for them. It was not God's design for them. And so he goes on to say he was created to what? To rule. We know what this word rule means. It means to have dominion, to dominate, to subdue, to have control, right? Also to conquer. So he created and put in man an apt to want to dominate, control, subdue, and conquer. But it wasn't to be to one another. It was to be on the earth. It was to be able to control the earth realm and things in it, like the birds, the fish, the sea, all those things. That is what man was created to do. Amen. To control that. But because purpose was misplaced, come on, and he got out of his place and his appointment and his anointing, he then misused and abused that authority. And that's where then man started to control men and women, blah, blah, blah. You know, you get it? 1 Corinthians chapter 16, 13 says, "Be on alert, stand firm in your faith, and act like a man, and be strong." And when you look up that word man in, you know, this is the Greek now. When you look that word up in the Greek, man there, it is of masculinity. You know, even grammar uses the word masculine. They going to take that out too? So now we're not even going to know what the word is, if it's a masculine or what is the other one. See? I don't. Anyway, I know it in Spanish, right? Because A is feminine, and then the O's are masculine. See? We're gonna rearrange our whole grammar language now so that we don't have to use the word masculinity or masculine. No, it's ridiculous. But this is where we've gotten to because men have gotten out of their place and not taken their responsibility. Come on. And so here we see in Genesis chapter 2, let me read it in verse 15 through 18. It says, "And then the Lord God took man and put him into the Garden of Eden." Here is another purpose that Adam was to do: cultivate and keep it. And we know that word cultivate and keep means to protect it and guard it. He was supposed to protect and guard the garden and take care of it. We also know he was to multiply. He was to be fruitful. He was to cause whatever he was to oversee, to organize, to cultivate, all of that. He was supposed to cause it to increase. Everything he put his hand to was to multiply and to increase. And he was then to guard and protect. Well, we know what happened. Here we know that Adam and Eve are in the garden and the serpent began to talk. Here we have Adam, Eve, and the serpent. No sin, no problem. If Adam would have stayed in his position, no problem. He would have had no problem if Adam would have just obeyed the voice of the Lord and done what he was supposed to do, which was to guard it and keep it. But he allowed that serpent day in and day out to tempt his wife. And instead of saying no, you know, to his wife, "You're not going to eat it. Devil, get out of the garden." Instead of snatching the snake up, the serpent up, and cutting off his head like I do when I see snakes. Snatch it up and cut its head off. And everybody's like, "Snakes are good. They eat the frogs and the lizards and the bugs. I don't care." No snake is a good snake because he represents the devil. And his head is off. Off with the head, right? We've had this conversation before. Hey, let me tell you. Did I tell y'all the story when I used to live in Lauderdale, Florida? Anybody know where that is? Over by the state penitentiary. That's where that is. And where all the men are that didn't have fathers in the right place. Anyway, you know, we lived in the middle of a hay farm. Where they grew cabbage, they grew all kinds of stuff. Turnip greens, hay, whatever. I mean, our house was right in the middle, surrounded like my yard was the cabbage patch, right? And we had so many snakes. I never knew if I was going to come into my bedroom and see a slippery snake sliding around. My brother can testify. There were snakes everywhere, all the time. And I remember one time I had a purple bedroom, and I was coming in into the kitchen because my bedroom was off the side of the kitchen. And have you ever seen a snake on linoleum? That's the craziest, scariest, satanic-looking thing I've ever seen. I mean, because they can't crawl, because they're just like, woo, I mean, it looks like the devil, you know? And it was crazy. And I was horrified living there because I never knew if there's going to be a snake. So, I mean, I would have literal nightmares of snakes coming out of my walls. you know, because that was something that was a constant in my life. Anyway, that's beside the point, but I learned how to cut the devil's head off. And I'm telling you, you need to learn. Amen. So he took him. He was supposed to cut his head off, get him out of the garden. But we know that didn't happen. And since that time, we know sin entered the world. And man, that God comes down into the garden and he's saying, Adam, where are you? And Pastor has said that. You know what? The Lord is and God is still asking that same question to man today. Where are you? What does that mean when you look it up in the Hebrew? It means you're out of your position. You're out of your place. You're out of your appointed place. You're out of your anointing. You're out of your position, Adam, out from underneath your authority. You had authority. I put you in a place as a king in the earth to rule over this earth, to have dominion, to guard, to keep, to protect everything that was going on down here. And here I know, I look down and here you have gotten out of your place and position. So you guess what? You have no more authority. I mean, I don't even know what some of these men think they're doing when they don't even take care of their households, have responsibilities, pay their bills and different things, and they think they're going to walk up in and have some authority. Uh-uh. You have no authority. You don't take responsibility. I'm having to take on your responsibility. You don't have no authority. I don't care if you gave birth to that thing. No, you got out of your position the day you decided you left and the day you decided you didn't want to take responsibility. That's a hard saying, but it's the truth. I don't owe you anything. That's what I say. I don't owe you just because you had your seed and gave birth to something. The moment you decided you didn't want to take responsibility and get out of your appointed and anointed place, then guess what? See? But the thing about it is many people's lives have been devastated because of it, hasn't it? Many people's lives. The prisons are full of people, as I said. And 90% of them, I heard a statistic, are staggering. Never knew their father, never had a father, or if they had a father, they were abusive. They were not there. They were there, but not there. What is that? Absentee. Said it in theory, but was never there taking the responsibility. Full of them. All over the nation. 90% goes back to the male species of the father. And the reason why we have such a degrading role towards women is because women have had to take the place of a male, which was never God's design. And so now children don't even respect their mothers. And it's all because they don't have a father. And so it's just a spiral effect. And it all stems from Genesis. And Adam getting out of his appointed place and not taking responsibility. Come on, and disobeying the Lord. And so we know that the bottom line is the earth is under a curse because he cursed the serpent. He cursed male and he cursed the female. And so now the whole world, John says, is under the lies and the power of the evil one. The devil is the god of this world. So the mess that you're in is not a result of God. It's a result of man not getting in his place. God made a way. God made a way. To redeem it all because God so loved the world that he didn't want to leave it in the chaos and in the mess that it was because Adam fell. That he loved us so much. He loved the world that he created so much and the people that he wanted and ordained to be in the earth so much that he brought an answer to the problem. Amen. And so the chaos, the turmoil, all the things you see in people's lives that are broken and hurting are a result of the devil and are a result of Adam not being in his place and man not rising to the occasion. Because the minute Jesus made a way and restored the access back to the kingdom and restored fellowship with man to the Father, then everyone has the opportunity. Everyone has the opportunity now to get in their rightful place, to get in their appointed place. And in that appointed place is where the anointing is. And where the anointing is every anointing to destroy every burden. Come on, every bondage, everything that a person may have gone through, going through, or whatever the case may be. If you get yourself in your place of appointment, there'll be an anointing for you to destroy everything that tried to destroy you. And get it off your life. And get it out of your life. And get set free. But as long as man don't want to take responsibility, then we'll still see the cycles of chaos happening in people's lives. Amen? But I'm telling you today, God loves you. The Father loves you. And he expects you to show yourself a man. And guess what? One day you will stand before the man. You will. Every knee will bow right before the man. The one man that paid the price. The Bible says that he came to destroy the works of the devil. And Jesus triumphantly conquered the devil. Triumphantly conquered him. He was masculine. He went down to the depths of hell. Some people's like, you don't even know. My life's been a living hell. Hey, I could concur on a lot of things, but I'm telling you, there's no excuse. No excuses right here. No excuses when you have the name of Jesus, when you have the power of God living on the inside, when you have the word of God, when you have the truth of God. I'm telling you, there's nothing that hell can hold on you. Nothing. Nothing. You can be set free. Amen. So here we see that the Lord, he was the one that if anybody, Jesus knew his appointed place. Yes. His appointed place. He knew his purpose. He knew his purpose. And as I said, Dr. Miles Monroe said, a person without a purpose, that abuse is inevitable. And then you begin to experiment with your life. And we see a lot of experiments gone bad with lives, haven't we? And so Jesus, he knew his purpose. He said this in 1 John 3:8. It says, for the one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. But the Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. He came for that purpose, to destroy those works. So now there is no excuse. Amen. Hallelujah. He was in his appointed purpose and place. And I say this, that who God appoints, he anoints. Who God appoints, he anoints. You know, all through the Old Testament, you see how he would anoint kings, which we know that the Spirit of God could only come in the Old Testament upon the prophet, the priest, and the king. But every time there was some situation where God needed to do something in the earth, because God can do nothing in the earth except through a man, because he gave the earth to Adam. And so we see all through the Old Testament that if God needed to do something in the earth, he had to find a king, a prophet, a priest, or a man that would obey, and a man that could run with that purpose and run with that vision. And we see all through the Old Testament that when he would pick a man, then he would go and anoint him with the oil. The oil. The oil represents the Holy Spirit. The oil represents the Holy Spirit, come on, and the power of God and the fire of God. To be able to accomplish that, some people are like, well, I never had a father figure and blah, 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 blah. Right here is your figure. Right here is your role model. Get in the Word of God. See what the Word of God says and show yourself a man. Amen. Show yourself a man. He shows you what a father looks like. He shows you what your identity should be like. He shows you what your purpose should look like. Every single one of us. And so what do we want to do? Ever since the beginning, Adam has been making an excuse. Man, it's that woman you gave me. Well, if she would just learn to keep her mouth shut, she wouldn't push those buttons that would make me bust her in the face. Or if she would just do this, if I could just come home and the house be clean and the children sitting there, yes, sir, master, sir, da, 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 da. Then my life would be easy and this would be that and, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's just all excuses for you not to take responsibility. Right. To be disengaged. To be disengaged. And the bottom line is that here Adam began to make excuses and to blame it on someone else. And don't we see that happening still today? Well, I never had this person in my life, and I never had that person in my life, and I never... Listen, I'm telling you, the only person you need in your life is the person of Jesus Christ. He is the only person you need. He's the only person that will not fail you, because people will fail you. People will let you down. People will disappoint you. People will try to manipulate you and abuse you and all those things. But he'll teach you how to love in the midst of that. He'll teach you how to find your identity in him, so it doesn't matter if they reject you, if they turn their back on you, if they walk away from you. Come on, if they don't love you the way you need to be loved, I'm telling you, no man can satisfy. Only what Jesus Christ's role is to identify you in him. No man can satisfy, and no woman can satisfy. It's Jesus Christ that satisfies every human being. Now, when you can get two people, then maybe you can get some satisfaction. If you can get two people that are satisfied in the Lord and have found their identity in Christ, then maybe you can get... But I'm going to tell you, even in that, there's going to be challenges. There's going to be situations. If I've been married now 27 years, and I could have walked away many a time because of disappointment, but I'm telling you, that's because you put your expectation in man and not God. And so no matter what, we have to trust the Lord and we have to put our expectation in Him, and He can teach you how to love again. He can teach you how to be submissive again. Because let me tell you, I was taught that you didn't need a man. My mama wore combat boots. And I was in a military family. And I'm going to tell you what, it taught you how to be independent. And, you know, there was times in our marriage when I was married, and I'm married to Pastor Earl, still, hallelujah, praise the Lord, you know, that I had to learn, because I could have said, bless God, hit the road, Jack, and don't come back. I can take care of myself. I don't need you. I don't need a man. But I did need him. He was necessary. He was necessary, because I would have been an ugly thing without a man. It's an ugly thing when a woman don't have a real man to lead. And to be able to say, no, the buck stops right here, and we're not going there, and we're not doing this, and you need to learn to keep your mouth shut. Just the other day, I wanted to spout off, not to him or not about anything, but about some situation. And he said, no, you're not going to call. No, you're not going to text. No, you're not going to do that. And I said, who do you think you are? He said, I'm your husband. And not only that, I'm the pastor of the church. So now it's a double whammy. Now I have to submit to him and my pastor. Yeah, try to live my life, guys. Oh, hallelujah. Fun times. But I'm going to tell you, I wouldn't be the person I am today if I had not had a man truly lead me and teach me what it meant to be a man and take responsibility and take the role, because I would have been a hot mess, probably dead, because I thought I could do anything. Right? No, I needed boundaries. I needed guarding. I needed protecting. I needed all those things. I needed correction. I needed to be put back in my lane. Just the other day, I texted him. I said, put me in my lane, baby. Put me in my lane. I'm staying in my lane. And he was real quick to let me know how to get back in the lane. Amen. Hey, this is how you roll. When you do it right. When you do it God's way. Amen. And so here, Adam, he got out of his place, but God had appointed him in the position to do that. And so what am I saying? I'm saying that every man that God has called, now that you're a child of God, you are appointed and you are anointed. If you're not married, you are appointed with a purpose for God individually. Whether it be as a businessman, whether it be, you know, as a role model, as a teacher, as whatever it may be, individually, God has given each and every one of us a purpose, and you are appointed and anointed to fulfill that. And so stay in your place in what God has called you to do. If you're married, that's a whole nother dynamic as well. Then lead your family. They need you. They need you. We don't need weak, mamby-pamby, come on, sweet, sugary men. We need men to be strong, courageous, to be able to take responsibility, to lead us, and to say, zip it up. Yeah, meaning zip your mouth, because women like to talk too much, right? Just be quiet, it'll be all right. That's what my husband would say. Just be quiet, and it'll be all right. If you would just be quiet, it'd be all right. No. No, because why? I want to talk it out. I want to reason it out. I want to da 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 da. And sometimes that will lead into overanalyzing, and not only that, worry.
But if just be quiet and I'll take care of it. Okay. Run with it. Right? We got to learn how to do that. And here we see that in Acts 10:38, it says, you know Jesus of Nazareth. He's the one that was anointed and appointed in his purpose. How God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and power. And he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. No matter who you are, married, unmarried, as a man of God, you are anointed by the Father with the Holy Spirit and power to go about doing good. One thing I like to say is we all have the ministry of reconciling man unto God. You have the ministry of reconciliation. And so therefore, you are anointed and appointed to go out and to do good, to share the gospel, amen, to bring healing to whatever situation you're involved in, whatever the circumstance is. Who are they oppressed of? The devil. We make so many excuses for people today, and the bottom line is they just are oppressed of the devil. You know, we label all these things that are going on in people's lives that aren't born again, but the number one thing is they are of their father, the devil of lies. People don't want to hear the word devil in church anymore today, but he is the one that is their father, and he is the father of lies, and he is the one that has oppressed every human being, and every one of them have problems in this world. Even the rich ones, and they end up taking their lives. They have problems. And the only thing that's going to deliver them, come on, from the oppression of the devil is Jesus Christ. And we have a responsibility. Yes, men, we have a responsibility to tell people, come on, about Jesus. Take the responsibility. Amen. Take the responsibility and get in your place that you've been anointed and appointed to. I want to read this scripture. I did not get to read it, but there's two scriptures that I want to read. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 20 through 24. It says, For as many as are the promises of God, in him they are yes. Therefore also through him in our amen to the glory of God through us, how he establishes us with Christ and anointed us in God, who also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge. But I call God as a witness to my soul that spare you. I did not come again to Corinth, not that we... The Lord is over your faith, but workers with you for your joy, for in your faith you are standing firm. Here we see that we are anointed through Christ as us in God, right? And he tells us that we're to stand firm in our faith. Come on. Stand firm in it. Ephesians 2:6, it says this, once we get born again, this is talking to the believers, it says, as he raised us up with him, where did he sit us? He set us in a position. He set you back up in a position of authority. You are now seated in the rightful place that Adam, come on, was seated in, but he got out of his place. He got out of his seat of authority. But in Christ now, you can get seated again. In that place of authority, it says, and he seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. So it is vital for the society and the culture that we're living in today for men to get in their seat, get in their place, get in their position of authority. You know, we have adopted one of the elementary schools here in our community, Osceola, which we're still collecting food for. So if you would like to give, see Pastor Vanessa. Every Wednesday during the summer, they come and we feed the homeless children in that school extra meals because they're not getting the free meals during the school year. And so, anyway, I was talking to her the other day, and she has been mentoring one of the students there at the school.
And you know, years ago when Pastor April and Brandon were doing the children's ministry, they had went to Osceola as well, and the teachers said the number one thing they need is mentors. Well, we tried the mentorship, and people said, oh yeah, we'll do it, we'll get involved, but then people didn't commit to it. And so it's more damaging because this is another person that someone, a child is looking up to, and then you leave them just like everybody else has left them. Shame on us. And so we had a whole list of people that said, yeah, we're going to commit to go once a week, once a month, and see this child in these schools, but it fell apart. They didn't do it. So we said, we're sorry. We have no one else that will commit. Well, anyway, so she went back. It's getting that all, you know, together again, and went back into the principal and said, what is the number one need in the schools? And she said, we need mentors. We need mentors. We have so many children that do not have fathers, and we're seeing how it's affecting our school systems. And so, anyway, so Pastor Vanessa said, you know, I go once a week and I meet with so-and-so and this child, and he doesn't have a father. And you know what I go and do? All he wants to do is play basketball. So here she is, a woman, where she already has women and his mama in his life, and going to go play basketball. What does he need? Show yourself a man. There are children in the world, the next generation, that are going to end up as 90% in the prison systems because men will not rise up and take the mantle of being a man of God and going and investing in someone's life. Because why? Man was created to dominate, to conquer, to be a fixer, to right. But what happens? They have misplaced their, they've misplaced their priorities. And they've put it on work, 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 work. So you may have a father, but all he does is work, and so you don't have a father. He may be able to provide great vacations and great, you know, clothes and great, but what does he want? What does that child want? The attention of their father. And so I hear stories now after 23 years of being in ministry. I hear the stories of people still broken, come into the office and they're still broken because of unresolved childhood issues. They go into psychologists, they're going and popping pills, they're doing all these things to mask the pain. The very one thing is, I had a dad, but he was never there to engage with me, to spend time with me. Or I didn't have a father. And so my mother was overbearing. She did all the disciplining. So guess what? I don't have any respect for a woman now. See how it gets completely unbalanced because men are not in their proper place and taking their responsibility and showing themselves to be a true man of God. It's completely out of balance. But the thing about God is, come on, he is the great equalizer. He is the great balancer of it all. And he'll come in and balance all those mistakes out. He'll come in and equalize all those things that happened to you in your past. All those things. If you let him. If you let him in. If you let him do it, he can heal you and see you through it. But we have to acknowledge, one, that we're not being responsible. Have you heard the term deadbeat dads? Right? May it never be in this church. No, we're raising up men. Masculine men. Anointed and appointed men. Necessary men. Needed. Absolutely for life. Because without a man, there is no life. They can try to do away with men and masculinity, but without his seed, there's no life. It's the end of human race, as one of those sci-fi movies that my husband tries to make me sit there and torture me to watch. Gosh, I hate sci-fi. Oh, my Lord, it just is so, I just can't stand it. Anyway, never have, never will. Star Wars, all those things. Star Trek, oh, gosh. I'd rather, you know, be in the middle of a pig farm and slop than having to sit through one of those grueling movies. Anyway, hallelujah. What was I saying? Necessary. Without you men, we have no life. You are vital to life. You are needed. You are necessary. Don't let the world and society tell you otherwise and try to skew your identity. Get in the Word of God. See what the Word of God says about you. Come on, and how you are to act. And everywhere I see, he would tell these men when he had a purpose and a vision for these kings and those that were going to go and do great things, he would tell them, be strong and courageous. And I say to you men, be strong and courageous in this world that we're living today. Rise up and be and show the world who God really ordained and created. Created you to be. Amen. Hallelujah. Be who God designed for you to be. Fulfill your plan and purpose in the earth. Amen. As a husband, as a man, as a father, everything. Come on, rise up. Walk in your God-given appointed purpose to lead, to guard, to protect. Women will have no problem. Well, us, you know, that have retrained our thinking and ourselves to the Word of God, women will have no problem coming up underneath when they know they're guarded. They know they're protected. They know that they're precious and valuable, treasured to them. They'll have no problem with it. I have known women that have been so abused by men that the only reason that they have gone to the other side, you know what I mean, gone to women instead of a man is because the men did not take responsibility. There's many other reasons, but I know specific reasons because they had a man that wouldn't take responsibility to do what was necessary to be and to lead and to guide and protect and guard, to subdue, all of those things. And so they failed them time after time after time after time after time. They were weak men. Weak. Yes. If you want to know if you're a weak man, come see me and I'll let you know. I'll let you know if I think you're a strong man. It's not real hard to discern according to Scripture. I know the Word, Genesis to Revelation. I've been reading it every day for the last 27 years of my life. And it is not easy. It is not hard to discern where you're at. And sometimes you need somebody telling you just what you think right in your face to maybe snatch a knot in your head. Right? To say, pick up your bootstraps and get it together. And lead your family and lead your wife and quit making excuses. Quit not taking responsibility to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all the things that you're so working so hard for, thinking you're providing for your family. Come on, it will be added and you won't have to work with the sweat of your brow because you can rest in ease. It's always hard, always difficult, always a challenge, always something going on. Always a problem. And it shouldn't be that way for children of God. It shouldn't be that way. shouldn't be hard for us. Will we go through difficulties? Will we go through hard times? Because of the world and the world's challenges, but not because we have personally not done what was necessary. Amen? Hallelujah. Pastor Marcus. So I challenge you today to rise to the occasion, men, to get into your place so that God's anointing can be upon your life and it can flow with ease. Because that's what the oil does. It loosens up everything that's blocked up, lodged up. What do you call when a bolt is seized? Seized up. It's because it hadn't had the anointing on it in a while. It's been shoved up, usually. Sitting up, right? Sitting up over here, not being used, not keeping its oil. I remember we had a camper before we sold our camper that my husband still cries about. We sold our camper, but every time before we would take it out because it had been sitting, what would we have to do? He would make sure the oil on the bearings on the tire axle things, whatever those, I just say tires, but y'all know it. Y'all are men. Y'all should know. And if you don't know, men, this is what I'm talking about. It's okay to get your hands greasy, to learn how to change a tire. Come on, to teach your son how to pick up a worm and not be scared of it. To rub some dirt in their hair and in their face. Come on. These boys that all they do is sit around and watch Xbox and don't want to play outside, give me a break. Get out there and teach your sons how to play in the mud. I made mud pies. Yeah, me. I look too sophisticated to make mud pies, don't I? I made mud pies. I rode dirt bikes, and I could have won a four-wheeler contest. Still regretting that I didn't do it. Crawled in hay barns. Picked up a snake, no problem, to chop its head off. Come on. It's time we start balancing some things out here. Start teaching our children. Outside is okay. Not air conditioning and Xbox over the summer. Get outside. Don't come back in. My kids didn't run in and out. They're outside, they're outside. You inside, you're inside, one or the other. Not running back and forth, slamming the door. Get outside and play. You locked the door on your kids? Oh, yes, I did. One summer, when we started, this is good, y'all. Y'all like this. One summer, when we started the church here in St. Augustine back in 2004, a situation happened with my family. And I had all three of my kids, Pastor Marcus, Pastor Mark, all three of my nieces and nephews, and two of my other nieces and nephew. I had my whole house full for the summer. It was slam packed. I mean, I think that summer we had close to 15 people in the house. And we had one of the pools that were above ground, you know, in the backyard. And I had all those youngins over there, and they knew I locked the door. You said, you going outside to play. We're not sitting up in here on this futon playing Xbox all day. Get outside. Well, what are we supposed to do? Better figure it out. Figure it out. So I went out there, my two of my nieces and nephews figured it out. They scooped up a bunch of tadpoles out of my little pond over there and poured bleach on them and watched them blow up. They found stuff to do. They were doing a science experiment, weren't they? Being creative. Come on, learning how to play old school with the water hose. Hitting each other with the bat. I don't know. I don't care. As long as they could only come in the house if there was somebody was hurt, drowning, or bleeding. And I had the belt out too. What happened to that? What happened to that, guys? Most of the people in jail, if they would have had a good butt whipping and a mother and a father taking care of business, they wouldn't be there. Or a switch like I would get from my mom that I would break and hide in the couches. It's time for the men to rise. We have a society of hurting people on all levels, from children to women, sisters, brothers, everyone, husbands, wives. Now we have abused men from women. Physical abuse. Seriously? I would say that would be a weak man. Not to abuse him back. I'm just saying you're a weak man if you've let a woman abuse you. There's ways as a man to get out from being abused. Right? Seriously. We're in a world of a mess when we're trying to eliminate gender. And men have been tried to be eliminated from day one. And we're living and seeing the devastation and the chaos of it. And today we need to rise up, men. And you need to show yourself a man. You need to show yourself a man and walk it out.